everyone. Thanks so much for tuning back into the iZombie After Show. Today we are talking about Season 3, Episode 6, Some Like It Hot Mess. Yeah.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
And I was like, I guess I'm about to find out, but
yeah.
I love this one.
How can you not love Earth, Wind & Fire? They're the best.
We were going to go with Memories.
Memories. We were looking for some sort of Remember or Memories.
Yeah,
and this
I'm
was
very
the
happy.
Most upbeat version.
But honestly, it's late here. If we would have done Memory, I probably would have fallen asleep within 2 seconds.
Right.
Whoa, Shannon's live. What's up, Jacob Elmers, D.V. Elmers? I'm sorry, Jacob Elmers, D.V. Elmers, That Dog, Danny Ryan. Connor,
hi guys.
Ooh, it's a party in
yeah.
here.
Y'all coming in hot tonight. That's cool. Hey guys, we have a new person on the panel. So maybe we should, introduce her and get some introductions. What do you say?
Hello.
Hey, AfterBuzzers. I'm Sean Tierra.
Hello.
Welcome.
Where can everybody find you on social media?
You guys can find me at Sean Tierra. Everywhere. Instagram, Twitter, I'm all over.
Spell it out for
me.
I love it.
It's, listeners.
It's long. It's SHAWNTEAIRRA.
See, that works with the music, though.
Yeah.
That was kind of nice.
I was trying to be on beat.
It does.
And I'm Dave Child. I'll be next. You can find me at MRDaveChild or DaveChild.com. My name's Dave Child. It's good to be here again.
Dave Child. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at BlackGirlNerds.com.
Yes, and I'm Anna Pritchard. You all can find me on Instagram and social media at TheHotShotDude. And is anybody else thrilled to learn that Dave Child has a website?
Oh, yeah. I say it every week.
How did I just now hear that? And I'm like, oh, Hannah's going to be looking up that website.
DaveChild.com.
I'm just sharing it with everybody. I don't know. I don't know, guys.
It just has, if you want to see videos of me dancing in old man makeup or with an alien or in short shorts, it's at DaveChild.com.
I think absolutely everybody would like to do that.
Yes.
Quite frankly, I just have to say, does anybody else love the movie Some Like It Hot?
Yup.
Yeah.
Yes.
Marilyn Monroe is everything.
Yes. Great. Yeah. Just had to make sure, truly appreciate this title. I enjoy it very much, not only because of that, but also because I feel like a hot mess tonight. So.
It's,
hot messes united.
We're all hot messes tonight.
Yeah. Apparently some like it. So great.
So, cool. Good. Cool. Perfect.
Cool. Okay, big episode. Like, right in there. I just want to talk about The Cure, like, right off the bat, and, like, all of the memory and all that kind of shit.
So they're the best underrated 80s band I know. And The Cure was really... No.
Okay.
Let's talk about
The Cure.
At first, I was like, where is he going with this? Where is he going with this?
It works so well. DaveChild.com.
And apparently, we now know for certain that Blaine is a little shiz.
Yes.
So now, the chat was having an interesting conversation earlier. Because we've been comparing Blaine to Spike. Like,
he's
the bad guy who turned good, who was there to help out the team. Does tonight's, like, major reveal that he got his memory back make him not Spike? The chat seems to think so.
I think the only thing he shares with Spike is a hairdresser.
Ah.
I think that's about it. And I think that I was suspicious of him. But what was surprising in this episode was when we discovered when he got his memory back.
Yeah.
Do we know
so shady.
Where in the timeline? Because I was trying to think, like, when his dad came, he must have had his memory back.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just trying to figure out at what point was it like, oh, he's back, and he starts making the conscious decision to change.
I don't know, because now I feel like I got to go back and watch the episode.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And see that, like, kind of shift moment as to, like, when did he pursue Peyton? Like, you know, even those kind of things. I'm like, was it before or after?
Depending on what happens on Saturday, I might do a live tweet of rewatching this season. From front to now, just because I'm really curious to figure out, like, when did Blaine turn? Like, when did things change?
What I thought was interesting was, I think, what is his name? Don E?
Yes.
Don E, right? Don E was right the entire time. We kind of thought he was, like, not, or that he just didn't trust Blaine, so that's why he, like, didn't trust him. But he was right. I also love, I think my favorite part of this episode was the discovery that John is a very unusual name in the iZombie universe, in the same universe that has Liv Moore and Major
True statement.
And Major Lily White. John is like three people.
Right. Yeah, I don't even know your brain. And only one in Donnie's circle.
Right. Yeah, Donnie's like, I only know these people. Otherwise, it's Blaine and Major and Liv and Clive.
Yeah, right. So John really sticks out like a sore thumb between those. But I don't know about you guys. Well, actually, I'm probably the only one who feels this way, so I'll take that back anyways. Because I've always loved Blaine. And I've always actually wanted to kind of see Blaine go back to be bad Blaine, because I think that's when Blaine is most sexy.
This is Blainiest.
I second that.
Yes!
You like bad Blaine?
I do. I do like bad Blaine. And for me, once he was pouring the wine, I just knew that he had his memory back, which totally caught me off guard, because I didn't think he had it at all. So I was just taken back by that.
And see, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I'm a little bummed out because I like the bad boy.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying good Blaine. And what I like about this reveal is that it tells us that even if what he did was awful, like hiding that secret when you could have been helping save people's lives, essentially, that's awful. But I like this idea that he's like, I got to be a better person.
Right.
And this is good. Runs back to the theory that we've always had about Blaine, which is like, deep down, he's a good guy who went through a hell of a childhood and did what he had to survive and made horrible, awful decisions along the way.
And killed so many people.
Yeah. So many awful decisions, but that really, like, at his core being, his essence, is good.
And he killed so many people.
So many people died, but like every movie where the bad guy's allowed to kill people, we forgive those deaths because inside of him,
they got a heart of gold.
Unless it's a dog, and then it's like, get out of here.
We don't like when you pick the dog.
True statement. Then it's over.
It could be so many people, but
did you
one
watch
dog.
The Lobster?
What up?
Am I the only one that's like here for Blaine and Peyton? Because
you are.
I am.
Yes.
I love them. I was feeling their vibe on this
it's
episode.
It's all about Ravi and Peyton for me forever. Really? They're my OTP.
Ravi was such a downer this episode. Yeah. He was mad. And
this episode?
Yeah, Ravi's been a downer like the whole season.
Yeah, he's had a rough season.
Ravi's the past 4 or 5 episodes.
Ravi's going through something.
Oh, yeah, he's going through a lot.
He's going through the motions, but you know, Ravi is genuinely a good guy who really honestly just got drunk and had a fling and just was not upfront about it. And like the very first second that the love of his life was like, oh, hey, I'm back. Which I feel like most people would be like, if I could just get this bitch out of my house, everything will be fine. I'm so close to having everything that I want. I'm not going to ruin it. I love Ravi. I love Ravi and Peyton. I love the way they challenge each other. I like the way they look together.
Agree with that. But going back to Blaine for a second.
No.
Because the thing that bummed me out about this entire reveal of him having his memories the entire time is that, yes, I've always liked bad boy Blaine, and I've been bothered by good boy Blaine. Up until this episode, they made me like good boy Blaine.
Yeah.
At the beginning, all of a sudden, I was like, yeah, I'm kind of feeling hot about, like, Peyton and Blaine in the kitchen, like, making
that
out.
That was a sexy scene. I won't deny it.
It was.
Hot.
Yeah.
They are, like, kind of the supermodels of the show, right?
Yes.
Because they're kind of, like, the most good-looking.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way Ravi is not better looking than Blaine. Like, Ravi is sexy. Ugh.
Stop it. I love him. Blaine.
Yeah.
I love him.
I just noticed, especially this episode, I'm always, like, Peyton's just gorgeous.
She is stunning.
She's gorgeous.
And it's, you know, so that's why she is like the person kind of jumping in between Ravi and Blaine all the time.
Yeah.
But it was kind of, I was kind of liking their relationship this episode too.
Right.
And also one thing I do have to say is I always liked the redemption story, which is why I think we liked even Angel and Spike, both of those. So, but that brings up the question of like, now that all the secrets are revealed, he does have the choice to really, truly redeem himself now that everything's out on the table. And it did feel like he admitted to what happened.
Agreed.
As a form of redemption, as like, if I'm truly redeemed, if I'm going to be redeemed, I have to be honest about this too. Otherwise, it's going to come out when Major comes back anyways and he has his memory.
Yeah, and I think that he was actually genuine in that to Peyton.
Right.
Like, I really actually like that. But we know, well, or we can assume that he's not going to redeem himself from his little ending with his martini, which I loved him turning around with that martini. I was like, yes, he's back. But should we back? But then he's making that, which we'll talk about more and we'll get to that. But then he was like making the whole memory serum thing, which I'm like a little bit confused about. But maybe we'll like get to more at the end when we're heading to predictions. So, you know, we'll just kind of like move away from that for like a second.
Right.
So, but yeah, so it in alignment with that. I loved Peyton in this episode. I thought she killed it in this episode. Like, had all of those, like, teary moments about things. Even when she was, like, talking to Ravi and apologizing to him.
Yeah.
Even before that, even when she goes to, like, when she has to go to Ravi to get this full report. And it's, like, walking into an ex's, like, den, house, so there's their space. To me, it's, like, really, it's exhausting just being like, oh, I have to go see this guy.
One
like,
thing.
Oh, Lord, help me. And she delivered, like, these lies, too. And then when she gets the information and he's like, yeah, I think he hasn't lost his memory. I like that cold standoffishness where she was like, I'm just done with your BS. I'm out of here.
I also like how I think this episode's really building up more of Peyton's storylines that are coming down the line. Like, one thing I was really happy about as we're talking about Peyton is the notice on this dominatrix storyline from last week. Because there was something weird about, we didn't really talk about this, but last week there was something weird about the confession. When the confession did come out, he kind of, usually people go, yes, everything, and this is what I'm saying, and I'm writing it down, like what happened this week.
Yeah.
But last week, he confessed like, yeah, let's say I did it for that reason. That's as good as any other reason. And then he wrote down his confession.
True statement.
So that made it a little suspicious. And I think what they're maybe building up is Peyton having this kind of investigating this case or something else and kind of having some useful utility-ness, like you having something to do than not just like shipping other characters.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why I also like her kind of trapping Blaine into admitting this, because it also made her more active and it just didn't make her like the hottest person on the set.
Well, it pulls her back into the friend circle, which is lovely to see her coming back to everybody and being supported by that. And also, I love that you bring up the case coming back, because if we don't have like a big arching case, we almost never go back.
Yeah,
true.
Which kind of terrifies me because of the way they're solving it. Like, she's having these stronger memories. We get that moment in this case where the guy's like, "How could you possibly know I brought wine?" And she just brushes off like, "Oh, we're detectives." I have a feeling that it's going to be something against, like, zombies. Like, something with Liv and getting her memories back, and Peyton's going to have to try to figure out how to balance that truth with the lies they're able to pull to get these confessions.
Right.
And are those admissible in court? Like, it's just a lot of...
Yeah, I think it's going to be... This is maybe a bit too into predictions, but I think it's going to be a question of what's admissible in court, what is actually... how, if you can use visions to actually arrest people, unless there is actually a trail... But I noticed that in this episode, the visions that she's getting with the party girl isn't exactly as, it's not the same power as the dominatrix one.
True.
Yeah, but that wasn't soaked in the blue true serum stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she was trying to avoid that because Liv doesn't really like it.
Yeah, which makes me wonder if we're done seeing dominatrix flashbacks.
We have G1X Friday 13 in the chat says, all these cases have been pretty boring, and I'm hoping that there's some big twist that ties them all together.
I agree with you, and we're going to talk about that later when we talk about the case, because I felt the exact same way. It's fine, though. But bringing up Peyton staying on this last case, I kind of think that they're just kind of having her stay on that case because they want to keep our friends Johnny and What's-His-Butt coming back on the show.
Oh, yeah.
To deal with the dominatrix. Vampire Johnny? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They will be coming back.
Exactly. I think they want to keep them on the show because they are a pair.
Right.
Okay. And I like them. And
that's one John, by the way.
Oh!
Exactly.
That is one John.
True statement, but I guess Donnie doesn't know him. So, or maybe he does, but he doesn't. Anyways, let's move over to Major.
Yeah, let's, because what a ride that guy went on this week.
Dude, I loved it, though, starting off with him with that food all over his face.
Oh, my God. Oh. The way he was holding the spoon, even, like, I don't know if it was community directing or his own acting choices, but, like, holding the spoon like a baby and then having the ice cream all over, just the sex noises, the sensual desire of ice cream. It was a perfect moment to, especially after, like, all the hardships he's gone through, and we had the, like, really sad goodbye, and I honestly thought we were going to open up with, like, Major not knowing where he was or who, and them like trying to rehabilitate him. It was great to just be like, I love ice cream.
Yeah.
True statement. What are your feelings on Liv and Major?
I like Liv and Major. I like them.
Okay.
I like them together.
Okay.
Starting off with the episode, I thought the same thing.
I'm just getting her ranking on everything.
Yeah. I know, but I love how that's like, this is how I judge people and judge a show.
Is, what's your test? Shit? door.
Exactly. So I'm like, okay, so what are we going to relate on and what are we not going to? What am I going to judge you on about this show? So that's cool. Okay, so you're blame.
But going back to Major, how you were saying how it started off with the ice cream over on the mouth and just, I feel like it started off so dramatic, but I was kind of looking forward to him, seeing him like lose his memory like a lot more and seeing different. I feel like them kind of dragging it out a little bit more. I feel like it was just so quick. It's like in one episode, he kind of like lost it and then got it back. It was just, and I get it only lasts like a day, so I understand, but I wish it would have just been dragged out a little bit more.
Yeah, they could have, it's interesting what the show kind of tends to drag out and not drag out. It always kind of surprises me. And they could have had a whole episode where he just has no memory and it's so sad and tragic, but they decided not to do that. I also think to go back to the ice cream thing, I like how one thing you kind of forget after seeing all this delicious brain food that makes you want to eat some brains, you forget that zombies lose their sense of taste.
Yeah,
it's true.
So it makes you wonder, like, ooh, if I lost my sense of taste, what would I taste
first? I kept thinking that too. What would you taste first? What would you want?
I don't know, because I want to say something like, I also love spicy food, and I hate to lose spicy food, but they still taste spicy
food. They still taste spicy.
So probably ice cream. Yeah. I think they're right.
Deep dish Chicago pizza.
Yeah, but I was going to say Skyline chili. My Cincinnati people out there, you know what that is.
Ooh, ribs. Ribs with sweet barbecue sauce on
there. There you go.
What you eat?
Pizza.
Yeah, I consider that first too. And all of a sudden, I was like, "I'd want meat. I'm a vegetarian." But immediately in my head, I was like, "I'd be going for bacon."
Jeez,
I don't even eat the bacon.
It would turn you. Well, at that point, you've been eating brains.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, give me all the flavor.
I think you're back in the meat camp at that point.
True statement.
Helena needs very hugs, and Ivan Soto both agree that it would be ice cream. It looks like Renji's going for that cake, which I totally feel you.
Ooh,
Renji.
Cake.
Cake is delicious.
Ooh.
Dave Gilmer says pizza. Danny Ryan, French fries.
Pizza rolls.
So, I do want to talk about, to move back to Major, when... Yes. So, we introduced Sue and Delilah here.
Yes.
So, is this the first... I think we might have heard something about his parents beforehand.
Yeah.
But I kind of... It's been a while, and there's a lot to keep track of who's a zombie, who's not a zombie.
Dude, yeah. I don't remember at all.
I don't either.
So,
about his parents.
It was curious to see, like, okay, who's Sue and Delilah? And I kind of knew right away that it was going to be a couple.
Agree. Well, I knew that in some way it was going to be family and assumed his parents. You know what I mean? But but then when... Was it Delilah who answered the door?
I think Delilah is the younger
Delilah.
Girlfriend.
Yeah, because when Delilah answered the door, I was like, that woman is not old enough to be Major's mom. So now I'm
I was thinking maybe sister, but then I was like, I don't think so. The way that they talk about Sue and Delilah, and then that's confirmed when Major's like, this is after it's revealed he's gotten his memory back.
Right.
And this is the first time he's seen them in a long time, because it seems like he chose his dad in the divorce because Sue got a new girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're a kid, that's probably kind of hard to deal with. So it's understandable, but also kind of sad and nice that it's kind of reunited again.
Yeah. And that he actually went to Sue and Delilah over going to like dad or whatever. That was the relationship that Liv was like, make sure you write to them.
Yeah.
And he chooses to go see them and like fix everything with Mama, which... Mama Sue was incredible. The minute that she turned around, I was like, whoa, I'm gonna cry.
Yeah.
Like, real fast. It was, like, really...
You definitely got emotional.
Yeah,
it did. It was an emotional moment, though. Like,
it was really cute.
Major coming down the stairs and being like, Mom, and you're just like, oh, God, my heart. It's so beautiful. And then knowing that they haven't really spoken, it seems like, since high school.
Yeah.
And and she's like, I heard you were engaged, but I don't really know what's going on. So the fact that they're like, not only does Major have his human self back, but he gets his like family back and this transformation.
Yeah.
It makes the ending of this episode even more tragic, because we're so close to having everything we want.
Can we talk about how freaked out Joelle and I were while watching
we
this?
We really have to.
We were like, Okay, so this is what was happening. I don't know if this read with anyone else, but we watch so much TV that there's certain things that freak us out that might not freak out other people.
Yeah.
And every time Major was like on the phone saying something passionate to Liv, every time they're like, we just have to wait till Major comes back. We just have to wait till like I'm having this redeeming moment.
Everything's fine with my parents. I'll be home.
Everything's fine. No conflict is happening. It's gonna be great. We were like, oh my God, Major's gonna die.
I thought when he was like, yeah, I'm gonna drive back with mom. I'm like, oh, car crash. That's it. He's gonna turn human. He won't have his healing powers. He'll be dead. I honestly thought that's how we were gonna end the episode. I was very scared.
This is where I thought was gonna happen. I thought it was going to be that white supremacist zombie group has followed him. I know, but has followed him and has found another family to attack. But I thought they were gonna get kidnapped. I thought it was gonna be Major disappearing off the map, and they don't know where he is. Because they even say, even at one point, they're like, "Oh, we just have to wait till Major comes back. We just have to wait till this." Yeah. Everything seemed like it was setting up that Major was gonna disappear, and then when he walked through the door, I was like,
you guys really freaked me out and sold me on it, because I wasn't even like, but how? What would they do? Like, you really went down a rabbit hole, which I see. But legit, guys, we're sitting there watching it, and they were both like kind of behind me. And like the minute that they were like, when Major's on the phone and he's like, yeah, see you soon. And she's like, you're coming back.
I'm a human. We could be together forever.
You could
Bye.
Like, I could sense them both like seizing. We were just like, no.
I had to stand up and get out of my chair. I was so nervous. Yeah. I was like, this is going to end terrible. There are never happy moments on TV. As soon as things get too happy, the writers are like, drop a bomb. We got to kill some people.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I thought it was setting it up.
I'm glad we weren't the only ones, chat.
Did the chat think that, too?
Danny Ryan's the same, me guys. Too, oh, Dave. My God. I was just, me too, Dave. Didn't occur to Connor, but a lot of us were very afraid.
Okay.
We're not crazy people.
The people it did occur to are, like, writing in all caps that they agreed. So they were strongly on your same page.
This was a very dramatic episode, so I feel like I didn't know what to expect. But I can totally see how you guys say that, you know, something happened to Major, because they did set it up that way. It's like he started off really happy with the ice cream all over his face, and he's losing his memory, and then he's seeing his mom, so it's just... So much.
I think this show is smart, though, too, and I think it knew what it was doing. Mm-hmm, I think it knew that it was setting up something that would make a lot of people worried, so that when they paid off, because they knew, like I said last week, this show CWs so well, so it knows the CW tropes, and it kind of uses it against the audience.
Yeah.
They're used to people in CW shows saying, we'll be together forever and then dying.
True. Yeah.
So it was, or disappearing for
a
season.
Granted, we all know that I think by the end of the season that Major's probably going to die on, like, you know, enemy lines, whatever.
Maybe not. But I don't know anymore.
Well, he's human now, which means he's much more vulnerable, which was way further ahead of his camp. Like, because the idea of being human again is it's the goal that they wanted. So showing the vulnerability of that then is just, if not dead, extremely hurt. Like, very, very vulnerable.
Right. Which, I'm going to bring something up that we'll probably talk about more in predictions, but I just got to bring it up because I'm curious if anybody else thought it. Because you all were thinking that, you know, Major was going to die and not make it back. The thing that I kept thinking that they were, like, heading towards were actually a disconnect between Liv and Major. Like, Major so keeps thinking that this is them getting back together. Yeah. And for whatever reason, I keep getting the sense from Liv that it's, like, a very back and forth. That she, like, kept doing the things with Major thinking that he wasn't going to remember any of it. But then, like, any time that he seemed to be forgetting or seemed to start remembering about what they had done the night before, she'd be like, yeah, but it's complicated. But, okay. And that's what I think more so they were, like, hinting towards. Right. Did anybody else
know
that?
I definitely saw that, especially when he kisses her. No. And the way he's like, and I remember last night, and that meant a lot. She's like, yeah, but, you know, it's complicated. But then... toward the middle, I'm seeing a lot back and forth, and I'm not sure how much is her and how much is drama brain.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it is very confusing.
That's true.
I don't think that them diving into a relationship at this point is a smart idea. I would love to see them back together.
Even if they're both human.
I think they've been through so much. They really... I just feel like, look, it's not that they shouldn't get back together. They just need to have a very long, long conversation, because a lot has happened since they were together before.
Yeah.
And I feel like they need to make sure that they're on the same page before they dive back in.
But that's a night. And also, that's like a night conversation. Also, you know what? There's people in relationships all the time with people that are HIV positive. And I think that if you're a zombie, just wear protection, just wear some rubber gloves, and have fun. That's all you need to do.
Honestly, I love that you brought it back to that, which was like conversations in the first season of like zombie being like also an AIDS kind of like infection kind of thing. I don't know, but I think it's hilarious that you brought
that back up. Keeping them apart. They're like, we can't because you're a zombie and I'm not, so I don't want to be infected again. Just wear rubber.
Oh my
Just
God.
Wear rubber all over the place and you'll be fine.
Hilarious.
I think they're small-minded.
That's so much. Well, and now because we know, I mean, which we can talk about now, move into, Liv's not going to be able to take the cure.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but how hard? Okay. This is the one thing that really does bug me, is how hard is it to make that cure? It doesn't seem that hard.
Well, and that's what I kept trying to remember. How long ago was it that Ravi made it, and what was the reason
why
that he
it
stopped
so limited?
Making it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I think he stopped it because he thought it was like, oh, this is getting rid of everyone's memories, so it doesn't quite work, but still make it, dude.
I was going to say, but wouldn't he still have the capability to do it and like remember how to make it?
I would think so.
I would hope that would be something that Robbie
would have
written
down. Maybe someone in the chat's remembering something we don't.
Well, G1XRider13 says they did the test virus passes through the... They did test the virus, but it passes through condoms, apparently. I don't remember that episode, but I fully believe
I think I do remember that, actually.
Yeah, they're otherwise nothing. Right. They prove the virus goes straight through condoms. So not a good plan.
Thanks for correcting me, guys. That was actually smart of the show to think of that, because then it becomes something else.
G1X Thread 13, so smart. Thank you so much. They have no more tainted utonium. There's no more utonium to test the drug
utonium.
On. Because they can't turn rats into the utonium, so they can't test the drug anymore.
But you know who might have it is Blaine.
Might.
Yeah.
Or Donnie.
Donnie
has connections to it.
But also, Blaine was also the one that's selling it. So when we see him mixing up that blue solution, the blue solution is the cure, right? Or is the blue solution getting your memory back?
Helps get memory back, but they didn't know that. I think the blue solution was originally just to preserve that one brain that he was testing on, correct?
Yeah.
So it wasn't even meant to be any sort of serum. It just ended up having effects.
But then they tested the blue in order to like to see if it got Blaine's memories back. So he was injected with that. So he was injected with whatever solution he's now making. That's important to remember because we don't know how it actually affected Blaine. So maybe it affected him in a way we're not very sure we know.
And that will not affect Major because Major didn't take the blue serum.
Why is he making the blue serum the question.
Because
it's not the cure. If it's not the cure, I initially thought maybe he's making the cure so he could profit off of it.
Right.
But if he's not making the cure, then he's making something else. He's making whatever that blue solution did to him, and he's trying to recreate that. But why?
Cool. I'm glad you brought that up because I could not even begin to like understand why Blaine was potentially making that. I was like, I know he's doing something devilish and sneaky by making it.
Is he, though? I'm going to just jump in because here, look. I have to wonder. Well, no, we overhear that Liv keeps forgetting to bring these products to Blaine. And they know they're making it to help Major and, you know, whomever else he might have an opportunity to help. I honestly think that there might be a chance he's just making it to make it as, like, a gift to the guys. As like, hey, I'm sorry.
Like a peace offering?
Look, Blaine.
Boring episode. That means it's going to be boring.
That's not boring. It's emotionally vested. Like if he truly is trying to make a change, right?
So wait.
True.
If he's trying to make a change, he's gonna make something that he knows Ravi could just make anyways. So it's like, I just wanted you to have a free afternoon. I made the blue solution so you could just play video games all afternoon.
You weren't using it. Like, maybe it is more sinister. Maybe Blaine is a bad guy through and through, but I still like this idea of Blaine now that he's seen that he has another way, now that the things that were forcing him into a certain lifestyle are gone, he has this opportunity to be a good guy. And I like that idea. They do leave it sinister because it's at the end and we don't know the fruition of the story. I know Dave's over here dying. He's like, no, Joel, it's not what's happening.
I just think, I think it's like, okay, what's going to add more drama to the actual story?
Yep.
And I think he's the only one that's injected that blue solution, whatever it is, into his veins. Mm-hmm. And now he's making it.
Yeah.
That might mean it's like a new drug. That might mean it's something else. That might mean it gave him abilities that we don't even know about because trust him.
And he just took it, right? He just took it only a couple episodes ago.
Yes,
So we have no idea what it did for
him. So the chat is chatty.
Helena we haven't even talked about the crime yet. We might want to run through the crime just a little bit.
Yeah, because the rest of those things we can talk about in prediction. I mean, like the Liv not getting the cure, stuff like that. Yeah. So, I mean, if you guys want to talk about the case, because let's be honest.
We can just run through it pretty fast. I think we all agree that the cases have been a little lacking.
Yeah.
But
well, especially this one. Last week's was funny.
Yeah.
Like, it was good. Like, they found a way to make that work for the entire episode and, like, bring it into everything. This was, like, taking, like, steps back into, like, last season when I felt like they kind of had a lot of lulls with their cases.
Yeah, well, it did have a fun... It got to see Liv being a little fun here and there. It was a few couple of, like... She did, like, a double pat at one point,
I loved, though. She did it a couple times, too.
But she didn't even feel like... I mean, I don't know how many club girls you guys know, or if you know... But she does not feel like a club girl. And that was a little disappointing. Like, the outfits weren't quite right. The, like... The alcoholism is usually a lot more sneaky than it is, like, just out and out. Like, I just need booze. Like, I wish she would have just stolen a bottle instead of, like, making a big deal out of it. And even to the DJ aspects of it, like, I feel like when the guys behind the bar is like, I'm a DJ, so I would know. Like, she'd be like, oh, yeah, well, like, what do you even spin? Like, there's just a lot of elements missing, too. Like, the things that I love about the show, which are the character elements. The fact that she gets to deep dive into these different characters every week.
Yeah.
I thought that was totally lacking this episode.
Well, one thing I actually think that they did, I think they just tried to... They were just lying to us about what the actual character, flaw was. Because they kept trying to say, oh, she's a hot mess. Oh, she's dramatic. But it was just simply she's self-absorbed.
And, forgetful.
And, well, because she's so self-absorbed, she only sees... The Liv show when she's on, I think they describe it like when they were describing Yvonne, they said it felt like she was on her own TV show and we were just all guests on it. That's what it felt like. That's what they were building off of. So it wasn't really playing off the fact that she's a hot mess or wants drama or is an alcoholic or even like the club girl stuff. It was just she's self-absorbed, which I kind of liked as a character to see... Someone play that one trait all the way through, but
right.
I don't know. What have you been thinking of the cases?
Well, this case was for me. It was boring. I think what made it more exciting was seeing Liv and her in the character and just being drama and just. I wrote down like one of the hashtags like hashtag my kind of cool bitch. Like I thought that was so. Yeah. I was really like I thought the hashtags were really fun and funny. So
yeah.
But other than that, I mean, the case, it was... I mean, I didn't realize that Clive had even solved it when he was just like... When he brought in the roommate, I was like, wait, how did we get here?
Well, exactly. That was the thing that bothered me the most about it was, one, I wasn't really into the case to begin with.
No.
But then it was almost like it didn't feel like a well... I spit, sorry. Caught myself off guard. It didn't seem like a well-rounded case. It seemed like they started writing it and then were like, oh, we even have to find a way to close it up.
Yeah.
Let's throw in this random boyfriend that we're going to interrogate, which viewers have no idea where he came from.
I think they bring it... I don't know. I'm always disappointed when it's the first person you meet after the murder. Because I think that's like... If that's the case, that it's not really exciting when it's like, hi, this is my roommate. I'm going to mention a boyfriend. And I'm like, okay, so she slept with the boyfriend and that's why they murdered. That's my first thought.
Yes.
Like, instantly.
Exactly.
And then like, okay, it's not the boyfriend, you know... So then it just is kind of what you think it is, and it's no real twist.
Right. And, like, Babs kind of just, which, sorry, we call Clive Babs.
Yes.
Which maybe you know
I watched warned things her.
Or whatever. Yeah, he warned me.
Oh, great, great. Because
that threw me when I first joined this, and I was like, there's a Barbara? We don't even know.
We call him Babs. I like that name for him. But, like, he solved it on his own. Like, it was just all of a sudden kind of done, and Liv wasn't even a part of it. And I don't know, that would have made sense. If they were connecting it to the fact that Liv was going to take the cure and was no longer going to be a part of the cases, so they were kind of leading Babs into doing it on his own again.
Right, that would have been nice if it was like Babs being like, I don't know if I could be a policeman without you anymore. That sort
of thing. It should have been a little bit more dramatic.
Did anybody else like really love that Babs Liv moment when we thought she was going to take the cure? And, like, she hugged him, and he was like, oh, and she thanked him for, like, being supportive. And he, like, made a crack about, like, not being captain yet. I thought it was a really cute moment, because we don't get a lot of Babs Liv moments anymore.
I know. Yeah, and I love Detective Babinaw, and I like the backstory they had given him in the previous season. I thought we were going to get much more detective stuff this season, and it just, he's slowly just slipping off the radar. So that, this was a, like a very heartwarming moment. I almost wish this case had been like one where maybe instead of them needing to solve a case, Liv just needed to eat a brain and then kind of started falling into this case, because I there's so much story to cover here in this episode.
Right.
And I understand like why the case got so little attention, but I wish it had been something that had been solved. I think they could dedicate 4 scenes, and I would guess none of them is longer than 3 minutes.
With like 20 characters.
Yeah. So I feel like instead they took the husband and wife team out, and she's just kind of like getting these flashbacks, and she's crazy, and everyone's like, what is wrong with you? What did this girl do? She committed suicide. And then that was kind of the way they solved it, because trying to shove an entire case in here, and then that terrible reveal at the end, I was confused who the boyfriend was.
Right.
The roommate seemed a wicked obvious choice, and especially because they made a whole big deal about the baseball being in the trash, and I'm like, well, clearly that's something to do. It is not a mystery, which is the only reason to have a case is to have a mystery in your story.
Whatever. The rest of the episode was great, but the case bummed me out, which all of you guys kind of have already said, like viewers and everybody, which, yeah, we're all on the same page about that. If you really liked it, I'm sorry that we're hating on it so much, but we loved the rest of the episode.
It was super good.
But you did bring up when saying that you liked Babs's backstory that they had given before, which, like, bummed me out, but kind of leads me into predictions, because, like, I don't know about you guys, but I really still want to go back to Babs being, like, the Daddy Babs that we saw with his mustache. Can we please get an episode about Daddy that Babs. Again?
Papa Babs is exactly. everything.
And we have to go back into that, because that had to do with Fillmore Graves and Wally and all of that kind of shiznit.
So we go into predictions
now? We're doing it.
Predictions!
This happens when you say predictions on the show.
Yes, it does. Just because this is our first time ever doing a show, you guys. She's doing a really, really great job. She's doing wonderful.
You know what? Before we move into predictions fully, Danny Ryan says Liv was barely involved because she was scatterbrained, so we didn't really get to see the case.
True.
I think if they had structured it that way, where Babinaw was trying to solve the case and Liv is off doing other things, I'd totally buy that. I like the idea of it. I don't think they played that to fruition.
I mean, you definitely saw that, but it was... I think you definitely saw that she was, like, you know, self-absorbed, so that's why she can easily kind of mess up on her job in general. Even, like, sewing someone's cell phone into that. I like that aspect.
I thought that was really funny,
actually. She became really bad at every single job that she did.
Yeah, I dig that. And the, like, spleen, or was it a spleen? Yeah, that was just, like, randomly sitting out.
Yeah.
Speaking of bad, I'm excited to see Badass Liv next week, kicking ass.
Yes!
Trying to get that syringe back. It looks like it's going to be a thrilling episode.
I'm curious. I think next week, if it has a case, it's going to be a very small case. And I don't think it's going to be a big part of the episode.
Agreed.
Which is going to be kind of nice.
Yeah, I think it's time for a case break for them and focus on all the other shiz.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot to focus on this season now with all that Fillmore Graves stuff and, like, this zombie... I don't know, war,
island.
Military.
The zombie island.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about the
don't
zombie island.
Don't forget about the zombie game. Island.
That was lovely.
Thank you.
That was great. Liv, not getting cure. Major, passing along the last syringe. It's Natalie, right? That he passed on to.
Yeah, we saw that.
Yeah.
We saw it?
Yeah, we saw it. There was an episode.
Remember, he goes to rescue her, and she's like, I can't leave, and then... the mob guy who's got her basically held up as a sex slave rolls in with his detective, or with his bodyguard, and she's like, oh, you have to go, because you're not supposed to be in here, and security already tracked you down, and it's going to be bad. And he's like, here, just take this.
But you're going to forget your memory, stuff.
But just take it so that you have it.
Clearly, I forgot stuff. Blacked out during that. But I love that you legit just gave me a play-by-play.
Yes, it was. Yeah, I loved that scene, because I like their relationship.
Yeah.
Like, if Liv and Major aren't going to be together, I'd like Major to be with her. They seem to be really good.
I still think that's going to happen.
They connect consistently on a really great level. Yeah. They seem healthy for each other. Liv seems hesitant about this relationship. It makes me worry.
That side of the table does not agree with
us. The thing is, when it comes to shipping on any show, it doesn't matter. Because it's just like, they're not going to stay together. It's just a show where... the point of every ships is that they're together and then they're not.
Dave, embrace the shipping.
Right.
The shipping is there. It's nice. And it could be like, I liked it here, but it's only going to last an episode.
Listen, he has to get with Natalie because now that Bat Boy Blaine is back, I need to get my Liv and Blaine action on. All right? And seeing her wild and out.
Liv and Blaine.
Did you say Liv and Blaine?
It's my dream.
Ew.
Live together?
No.
Yes.
No.
that ship's gonna sink.
They're going to regret all of this when it does happen.
We sink your battleship.
Okay, but you all were like a Spike and Buffy fan, but can't be a Living Blade fan.
They did Spike and Buffy together.
Oh, no, well, that's
it was the worst.
No,
he attacked her in the bathroom. What was good about their relationship? No. It was terrible.
Mm-mm. Listen, in overall, Angel was always supposed to be with Buffy.
No,
that's a guarantee. No. Yes. But the Spike relationship was nice because it was a good, I think towards the end of it, it was a good relationship, but it would never last. Mm-mm. But it was still a nice relationship for both of them to go through. That being said, she's going to end up with Angel. So yes, I am talking about shipping. I do like ship on some stuff, but in this case, there's no reason for Liv to go for Blaine because Blaine's done nothing but lie and cheat, especially now after we've realized that he's still the same Blaine we've always known.
Yeah. That's just not going to work. Wait. Once she starts kicking his arse next week, yes, I said I like that, that tension is going to be built between them.
Yeah.
And I bet you anything, and it's going to happen sooner rather
jumping
than later.
Jumping the zombie shark.
That is the messiest relationship ever. He just got out of a relationship with Peyton.
Right.
She is with Major, and Major hates that guy. Mm-hmm. And she's like, works constantly with him. Like, Blaine can't just drop by the morgue when she's working with Robbie. Robbie hates Blaine for good reason. That would be the most destructive relationship ever, at least on this show. I like that the chat is like pretty 50-50 split here. Danny Ryan says, yes, Hannah, Blaine forever.
Yes!
Ivan Soto, what? Yes, Hannah, hell yes. Davey Elmer, however, says, Liv and Blaine ain't happening ever. Danny Ryan likes, yes, And then they went Spike and Buffy.
Listen, I'm telling you, everybody's been hating on me from the beginning about my Bliv theories and feelings about it, but there has been a small Bliv cult of us that have formed together, and we all want it to happen, and we stand by it, and it will happen, and I feel that this season, they are going to give me the finale that I want.
Are you a Bliver?
I'm a Bliver.
Oh, even that's so terrible.
That's cute. Thank you.
Oh, the nickname is even worse than the actual thing.
Oh, you just absolutely made my life. Oh, and on that note, I would like to go ahead and close this episode out. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I think we can end on that note. That's a happy one. Everybody, where can everybody find you till next week?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Sean Tierra.
You can find me at Mr. Dave Child on all the internets or DaveChild.com.
I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique every week at BlackGirlNerds.com. Wednesdays, I'll be at Schmo's Nose. Thursdays, I start here at 2 o'clock where I do Genius. 3 o'clock, Handmaid's Tale. 4 o'clock, Knife of Hour. There's so many more shows in there. Archer at like 9:30 and then 10 o'clock, Riverdale. So, you know, join me here on Thursdays when I live at AfterBuzz. We cover a lot of shows. My interview with WKML Bell is coming out later this week on BlackGirlNerds.com. I've also got my review of Guardians of the Galaxy and more things. Yes, it's fun.
Cool. We can just have a whole episode.
Whoa. I feel like I ran out of time. I'm Hannah Pritchard.
Bit too much to talk about.
On Instagram and Twitter at the Hot Shot Dude. I would tell you what shows to find me on, but you know what? I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, like...
All of the shows you can find me on are at DaveChild.com.
And if there is anything we did not talk about tonight that you guys wanted to talk about, tweet at us, comment about it. We'll talk about it because I know we were all over the place this evening. Okay, some like it a hot mess. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
I'm just going to see you.
We'll live you later.
Yuck.
Yes.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.